You're waiting for me to say something. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Yay. And let us open our service with a word of prayer.
All right, let's bow our heads this morning as we thank God. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day when we have set aside to give thanks for all of our mothers or the caregivers in our lives. There are many who have never had children but have taken care of many, many. We know that as a society, we depend on them all the time. So again, we thank you for giving all of these women that are in our lives today. We hope that you'll be with all of the people who are here and bring back those who are traveling or are gone for whatever reason and have them back with us next Sunday. Open our hearts so that we may hear the message Bruce brings to us this morning. We pray all these things in the name of your heavenly Son, Jesus. Amen. Lot of sunshine today, so thank you for bringing us that little sun into our lives.
Well, I actually wanted to say something about that. I picked some of the hymns and that prelude on purpose to try and defeat this weather. So keep your eyes and ears open for the word sun.
Oh, okay. Even if it's spelled differently, probably. Okay.
No, specifically the big...
Specifically, that sun. Okay.
The glassy orb in the sky.
Okay, I wanted to start this morning with a short poem about a mother's love. There are times when only a mother's love can understand our tears, can soothe our disappointments, and calm all our fears. There are times when only a mother's love can share the joy we feel, when something we've dreamed about quite suddenly is real. There are times when only a mother's faith can help us on life's way and inspire us in confidence that we need from day to day. For a mother's heart and a mother's faith and a mother's steadfast love were fashioned by the angels and sent from God above. So once again, we thank all of you mothers and all of you women caregivers here. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we'll stay seated so that you can see that. We don't have as big a crowd as we had the other day, but if you'll remember, we really got their attention upstairs, so let's make a lot of noise with the crowd that we have, because we're going to know all these hymns. Okay.
Father, there is no shadow of turning.
right, for a small crowd, that was great.
That was amazing. I thought we had a tabernacle choir here. That was really awesome. Okay, all righty. I just want to write this down because you know me, I get this really goofy. Oldest, youngest, number of children, number of grandchildren. Well, actually, I'm just going to pass this one on to somebody here that we know because she's got it all. But anyway, but she can only win once. So, all right, any birthdays and anniversaries? No, I got it. Thank you.
This is my birthday.
Oh, Pat. Did we sing last Sunday? Yes. Would you like to sing? Well, we'll sing again. Yeah, that's all right. We'll sing again. Yeah. So you want us to sing again?
Sure.
Okay, great. All right. I know in my birthday in October, the whole month is my birthday. I mean, that's just the way it works. No, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. All right, let's sing happy. Happy birthday to you. Children, number of grandchildren, number of great.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, I would like all the ladies to stand. Just raise your hand. Just there you go. All right, all the ladies. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Okay. All right, let's give these ladies a great hand. All right. Okay. Now, we don't have any new people. Don't forget, there's a sign-up sheet in the back for the George Spierlack Golf Tournament. It's our seventh tournament for the inner-city kids. We named it George Spierlack last year because he was a great friend of all of ours. And so there's a sign-up sheet. It's $250 if you want to sponsor a hole. It's $150 if you want to sponsor a child. And I always recommended last year that if you want to go in together with other people, you know, to do that, that's okay. That's wonderful. Ladies Bible study, we will continue in the fall. We had a great, great Bible study this year. We finished it off with a wonderful brunch. And thank you all, you ladies. Ladies Luncheon is May 19th. And please sign up in the back. And Kathy Bowne, who's not here, is going to be giving her story. And I know I've known Kathy for many years, and it is really, really good. And men's ministry, guess what? Guess who's not done? Gee, is that a surprise? No. Okay. Ron Estes gave his story, or gave up to age 8 years old his story. So we may be in for a long summer, you know. But he was talking about the Dust Bowl. And so, you know, when he was 8 years old, he went outside and, you know, he saw this cowboy hat, you know, on the field. So he goes out there and he lifts up the hat and there's a head underneath it. And he says, "Can I help you?" He says, "No, I'm just riding my horse through." Did I say it right? Okay, great. All right. Dinner with friends. We really had a great time the last time. It's Tuesday, May 13th, 5 o'clock. Sign up. We will not be in that little room. There's a golf group that's going to be in there that evening. So they will put us out into the restaurant part. So please sign up because I will take the numbers or you'll take the numbers upstairs at Josh and let them know how many people signed up. Okay. Garage sale. I know the HEB is having their garage sale next weekend, and I know that they're not giving them any tax deductible for any of that. We always do our garage sale after HEB. We are having our garage sale May 30th and 31st, and we are not going to be there, so we really need help. Marilyn and Norm Bain said that they would take it over. They've been great, great helpers. So if you could help, you know, for a couple of hours or whatever the case may be, that would be really awesome. This is for the inner city kids. This also goes towards the summer camp. So that would be great. Bruce and I are going to be gone from May 20th to June the 7th. He's going to be chaplain again on the boat and on the ship, not a boat. Yeah, we don't do boats across the ocean. But anyway, that's really great. And how that came about, that was so cool. We were in New York last year, and it was in October, and we were getting ready to pack up and go back to Denver. And he says, you know, Because, you know, you have to be evaluated. You're evaluated by the crew. You're evaluated by the people who come to the services and stuff. So we're thinking, well, we never heard anything, so obviously we were not that good. So, which is, you know, kind of sad because I thought we were pretty good. So, but anyway, so the day before we leave, he goes on the computer and he said, you know, I think I'm going to look at my spam. There was this email from them in August. So he emailed back right away and said, I'm done. I know it's probably too late, you know, and this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. She emailed back like in 10 minutes and says, this cruise is available. Can you take it? And that was to the Baltics. So that's how we're going to go. I know that is such a God thing. That was so cool. So anyway, that's where we're going. We're going to the Baltics, which I've never been there before. And I've been to Bennett, Colorado, though. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, now. The oldest mom, all right, if you're between, I know, I try so hard. If you're between 80 and 90, stand up. The oldest mom, 80 to 90. Okay, you're standing for, oh, all right. How old are you? 82. That's great. We get to know how old everybody is. And how old are you, Missy? I know how old you are. Yeah, you better tell the truth. Okay. 87, 88. All right. The youngest mom, if you're between 40 and 50, the youngest, she better not be. We're going to have a come back to Jesus meeting if that's the case. Nice try. If you're between 40 and 50, 50 and 60, really? Okay. 61. 60 to 65. All right. Wait, don't. We're not done. How old are you? 62. I get my first social security check next week. Okay. Oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Okay, here we go. Number of children.
I only have four.
Oh, I thought you had millions. How many?
Five.
Anybody have more than five children?
Can we count five?
No, you can't. Okay. Oh, I can't. Okay. Now, I think this is it. Number of grandchildren.
Ten.
That's what I figured. Ten. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, you can't. You only won one, so I'm going to give it to you. Okay, now, here we go. Number of great-grandchildren. How many have three? How many do you have? Five? Great. How many do you have?
Ten.
You, I know. She has 10 great-grandchildren. Isn't that amazing? She, I know. I mean, we can't have you win everything. Okay, I'm not quite sure I understood the story, but your son married someone who had eight children, and he needs a grandson who married someone who has eight children who needs a special blessing. And then they have how many great, they are your great-grandchildren. He has three. You know, we're just going to let that go. Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about that anymore.
Okay.
I I have two more things, actually. Those of you who remember Charlene Henslin. Charlene is a black-haired lady who had a lot of retina problems, and she went in to have surgery, and it didn't work very well. Then she was in the hospital for a very long time. She has cancer. Her kidney shut down. She is in really, really bad shape. So she wrote a note, and we gave her the prayer pillow. Linda Shirk gave her the prayer pillow. And it says, to Eagle Bend Community Church, thank you so much. May you always be as happy as you make others. Thank you all for your caring and support for my illness. I know that your prayers for me have been received because I am feeling much better. The beautiful pillow means so much to me. I will always keep it close. Thank you for all your prayers and kindness. Charlene Henson. That was very sweet.
Sorry, Barb, we'll let you know when it's your turn. Last week, everyone said prayers for Fern Cunningham, and the pillow is ready this week for you to take home.
One more thing. But this is the last one.
It is, I promise. You know, we always give flowers all the time. And I know that they die and you forget who you got them from and whatever. This year, we topped ourselves. I'm telling you, you're going to get a pin. And it's got the church's name on it, telephone number, and all this other stuff. So every time you go in your purse, that flower will not be there. But this pin will.
I agree with her about, cut flowers just don't last, and we always give those on Mother's Day. So yesterday we bought potted plants for our daughter and our granddaughter and for a friend who was coming to eat. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. Well, we get there, and they have a beautiful potted plant for me, and by the time we got through, it looked like a funeral parlor with all the potted plants. Nobody bought cut flowers. They were all potted plants all over the house, but it was a great Mother's Day anyway. And now we are going to celebrate being women by singing I Am a Woman, so we want only the women to sing unless the men, feel inclined to. If you would like to stand, you might be able to see it, but if you can see sitting down, that's fine too. You're going to know the tune. It's the Crusaders hymn.
Oh, I really miss my mother. Let us pray. Lord, you are good and you do good things. And we praise you for your love, your power, your mercy, and your compassion. We come as people who need all those things and so much more. We come as people who know how fragile life is. We truly are like grass that withers and flowers that fall. But we rejoice that you and your word stand forever. Forgive, please, for how attached we become to this world and its stuff, and for the ways we refuse to think about death until it stares us in the face, and for the ways we too often keep you at arm's length. Lord, we confess that we need you and the promise of hope you give and the promise of good things to come. We pray for those facing surgery or other procedures. Please be their strength. We pray for our congregation and our ministries. Please be our reason for being. Please grant us a vision that reaches beyond this world, one that embraces eternity with a calm confidence. Use us to bring light to this dark world. Use us to bring life to a struggling world. Use us to bring joy to a despairing world. Use us, please, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And I think it's so funny, there's all those little kids interrupting on Mother's Day. I'm reading from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
You may notice if you've looked in your bulletin that we're singing five hymns today, but we're not singing all the verses of all of them. And we now have competition, so we really need to do it. We're going to sing The Church's One Foundation.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is you.
Transition real well, but we got there and we did drown them out as far as I can tell. It's time now for us to give back a little to the Lord of what he's given to us with our tithes and offerings. So let's join together and sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures in
seated.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for our treasures. And we thank you that we are able to share them with you. Amen.
I forgot my glasses. If I mess up, it's Betty's fault, because these are hers.
Well, community glasses.
Community glasses, okay. I don't wear fancy glasses like this. I don't feel very... Thank you for who I am. Thank you for all the things I'm not. Forgive me for the words unsaid and for the times I forgot. Mama, remember all my life. You showed me love, you sacrificed. Think of those young and early days, how I've changed along the way, along the way. And I know you believed, and I know you had dreams, and I'm sorry for all the times to see that I see where I am because of your truth, and I love you. Yeah, I missed you.
Mama, forgive the times you cry. Forgive me for not making right all the storms that might have caused, and I've been wrong. Dry your eyes, 'cause I know you believed, and I know you had dreams, and I'm sorry it took all this time to see that I am where I am. Truth, and I miss you. I miss you.
What a great tribute to our mothers. Wow. I'll take a few minutes to compose myself. It was great. Wow. Well, these days we measure everything. We measure everything from baseball hitters' batting average to the wealthiest people in the world. Everything is measured. Our height, unfortunately our weight, unfortunately our blood pressure, our bank accounts, and our investments are whatever. Are we all measured? Over this past post-Easter season, we'll be looking into the book of Acts and see what the church was really like in the first century. We'll be doing this into the summer. The church in Sardis, one of the congregations in what was then Persia, has a sad portrait of what happened in those days. And I would really suggest that, you know, you read the book of Acts during this period of time. It's easy reading, it's a story, it's fun to read. The church in Sardis, they forgot where they came from, they forgot where they were going, they forgot what their purpose as a church is. Their measurements as a congregation serving the Lord was not very good. And there are four characteristics of something that is living. Living things are made of cells. Living things need nutrition or food. Living things exhibit growth. I just pulled a couple of bushes out of the garden because they weren't growing. So they were dead. They had to be removed. And also, growing things reproduce. Well, that first century church in Sardis had a reputation of being good, but then all of a sudden, now they're as good as dead. In Revelation 3:1, Jesus said, "You are dead," referring to this church. Well, first of all, the cells of this church were not working well. While some members were walking with the Lord, others had ceased to function properly. If one part of the body is not working well, the rest of it suffers. Just think of what happens when you hit your thumb with a hammer. You forget about everything else in your body except for that thumb. That thumb becomes the ultimate thing in your life. Well, also this church had stopped taking the right spiritual food. The Lord admonished them to listen to the word of the Lord and the Spirit, but they did not. Remember the story about the guy who ate McDonald's for, 6 months? That's all he ate was McDonald's food? Well, he wasn't getting very good nutrition, and he became quite sick. And that's so important for the body of Christ, to be fed properly. The third, the church in Sardis stopped growing as a body. They had knowledge, but they didn't reach out to anybody else. They became inward to each other. Finally, it's probably safe to conclude that a church that is in such bad shape was not reproducing very much. They were not reaching out to other people, touching other people, exhibiting their Christianity to others. This morning, based upon these verses, we're going to ask, what are the marks of a growing church? What are the marks of a growing church? Well, certain things can measure whether a church is living or dying or growing or just existing. Even though more churches are coming into existence, there are at least 7 local congregations that die every day. It's a sad situation. 2 national polls were conducted. One said, "Did you go to church last week?" And 40% said yes. Then they did a parallel poll and they said, "What did you do last weekend?" And only 20% said yes, they went to church. So the difference in perception. Well, our church is different. Even though our attendance is down a little bit, we have 52. Still, we average about 60% of our people that say they belong to our church come to church. That is really amazing. You know, the Church of Christianity is rapidly changing. There is now cyberspace. There is social media. There's the internet. There are a lot of people that are now participating as Christians online and on television as well. Even our own congregation, would you believe that even our own congregation has received thousands of accesses to our website over the last couple of years? It's amazing. It's an amazing situation. Our church here is faced with extraordinary challenges. And back there, but we have worked very hard to develop a good relationship with the HOA, and we're continuing to try to build that relationship because we are established here 7.5 years now. That is so important to our community. You know, I've been amazed that sometimes I've been out like after playing golf or just going through the Eagle's Nest talking to people, And I say, you know, I'm Bruce Miner, and one of the things I do here, I'm the pastor of the church. You have a church here? And there are people who have been here for, lived here for half a dozen years that don't even know that we have a church here. Is that our problem, or is it theirs? I think it's ours. I think that's why we're working so hard. We can't succumb to the decline and the level of excitement that we have to serve the Lord that is so important. One of the new things that we're doing, I think Tom Shirk has mentioned it, but we can't mention it enough, is our task force on growth and development. Tom is putting this together. It was put together originally to reach out to the community being built south of us, 500 homes. We thought that would be a great way to look out to these people and to say, we have a church here. Maybe we'll have a church service down there at 7:30 in the morning and one here at 10, or vice versa. Now, you don't want to have one at 7:30, do you? No. But we'll probably have a centralized church. That would be great. But also included in this growth and development is a rebranding of our mission statement, our outreach to our own community. That is such a big part of what we'll be doing. Part of our outreach is the George Spurlock Golf Tournament that Betty mentioned. It's coming up on July 27th. We already have Freeway Ford, which has given us over $20,000 in 7 years to help support our golf tournament. And we have given close to $100,000 to the inner city camp over those period of time, just from the golf tournament. That is great. So I hope that you will sign up and sponsor a child or a child's arm. You know, that's $25. A head is $50. A whole child is $150. Or sponsor a hole. Don Nuss is the first one. He's sponsored hole 11 for 7 years now, right? Think of all that money, Don. Wow, that was great. Thank you. Well, I want this church to live, and you want this church to live, because this is the body of Christ. And it can be a reality. When you look at the marks of a growing church, what are those? It's marked by the right kinds of works. James, the book of James that she did the Bible study on, in chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead. Right. That is so important, because you can have faith and be alone, but if you're not reaching out and doing things with other people, your faith is dead. I call it bump on the log theology. You know, I'm sitting out in the woods, I'm here with God, I love God, and I'm sitting on a log, but I'm just a bump on a log because I'm not doing anything else. But these early Christians, not in the church in Sardis, but in other first century congregations, they were the real deal, and they really reached out to people and made an impact in their community. They were marked by the truth. They were marked by the truth. They didn't have a Bible, but they had the letters written by Paul, and they had the scriptures that were beginning to be written and passed around by word of mouth. They knew what happened with Jesus and how he died and how he was crucified and how he rose again. And that's so important for us today. The basis for what we believe is the Bible. Nothing else. There's no other basis. And if I'm ever scripturally wrong, I want to hear about it, and I want to hear about it right now. There haven't been many times that people have said anything to me, well, Nancy Teich is not here this morning. She's pretty good. And I'm calling upon many people to make sure that I'm keep everything straight in the straight and narrow. That is so important. The Bible says that they continued in fellowship together. Look, our fellowship is so great. Oh, it's wonderful, because people in this church come from all over the country, in fact, all over the world. I did a little survey. I think you were in here when I did the survey. I'm going to read you, first of all, the states that people come from, and then their religions that they were brought up in, quickly. Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, Iowa, Colorado, 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 Nebraska, Minnesota, Nebraska, Alabama, North Carolina, Colorado, Indiana, Nebraska, Arkansas, there they are. South Dakota, Oregon, Maryland, Nebraska, D.C., Missouri, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, South Africa, New York, Colorado, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, and New York. I'm not the only one, though. And the religions. Now, this is even more fascinating. The religion, Presbyterian, Catholic. You'd be amazed at how many people were raised Catholic that are in our church. Presbyterian, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, Community Church, Presbyterian, Baptist, United Church of Christ, Community Church, Catholic, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic, 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 Lutheran. Very close to Catholics. Baptist, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Community Church, Baptist, Baptist, Dutch Reformed. We know who that is, Luvani. Baptist, Catholic, Catholic, Episcopalian, and Baptist. That's what a picture. When I grew up in New York City, everybody who went to my Lutheran church lived within 3 miles, and they were either German or Swedish, or a couple of Norwegians, but not too many. Well, yet in Christ, with this diversity that we have, we are all made one. That is the earmark of Jesus' church. And we all are sinners too, and Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. It doesn't matter what your sin is, but he loves you because of who you are. He said that he even counts the hairs on your head. Some of you has to spend more time than others, right? Well, John 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other, and anyone who does not love remains in death. And that is the essence of the Christian community, that people will know you because of the way you love each other. Sometimes it's difficult to love the unlovable, but when you do, when you love the unlovable, you know what happens? It's not so much change in them, but it's change in you. That is so important. The early Christians also found the common ground at the table of the Lord, the communion. And Jesus said, whenever you get together, just share the Lord's Supper with you in remembrance of me. That is so important. Everything that we do and everything that we live for, we owe to Jesus. And then the next thing is prayer. Wow, prayer is so important. There are so many churches that are just kind of, prayer is kind of old-fashioned, and it's not that important. Prayer is something that you do when you're in trouble. But prayer should be something that you do when you when you're in communication with the Lord. We have such a great prayer ministry in this church. It's a fantastic, and thank you, Kay, for what you facilitate. She's a facilitator. Christians don't pray as they should. You know, well, this weekend we had an interesting situation talking about Ron Estes. He's out visiting his mother, who is 97 years old, and she lives in Colorado. Colorado. There is an actual city by the name of Colorado, Colorado. Colorado, Kansas, right. He's out visiting his 97-year-old grandmother who still works on the farm, lives on the farm. He called me the other day on Friday and said, I will not be able to be there on Saturday to give my presentation because my mother was taken to the hospital. I said, Ron, what's going on? He said, well, they don't know. She's having trouble with her blood pressure. And so I said, well, let me pray for her. So prayed for her, and then I got a call back in 3 hours. She's home working on the farm. Wow, what a great answer to prayer. And we have examples of power of prayer all the time. And sometimes answers to prayer are transitioning from life to death. I've seen so many people that have transitioned from life to death. I remember my mother. She was 79 years old, and she had cancer for several years. And I was with her the last couple of days of her life. And she said to me, Bruce, I pray. And I said, I'll pray with you that I don't live very long because I'm more afraid of life than I am of death. And then she passed. And my sister and I then, I think I told you the story, we hired out an Italian restaurant in Brooklyn. And we invited all of our family and friends. And we had a fantastic Italian feast and had a party for Mom. That was great. Well, these early saints in the first century church were practical people. They were single people. They talked about the body. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of one body being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or from Nebraska or Missouri or Kansas. We're all baptized into one body, weren't we? The fact the body is not one member, but many. And it says in Galatians 2, bear the burdens of others so that we may fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear the burdens of others spiritually and mentally, physically. We are to be sacrificial to the Lord. We are to sacrifice ourselves to Him all the time because He sacrificed Himself for us. We are to give of our time, our talents, and our treasures. God doesn't need these gifts. God doesn't need our money, does He? But we do. Our church has a staff of 5 people that are paid, and we have a budget of about $120,000 a year. And you all support this so wonderfully, and we can do a whole lot more. It's going to be great outreach through our Growth and Development Committee. And we need, unfortunately, it takes money. It does take money, and we thank you for your gifts. Well, we have a Spirit-filled congregation that is just underlined with such support through time, talent, and treasures. Church does this because God wants us to do this. The hand cares for the eye and the foot for the arm, and every part of the body is so important to the whole. Our love is our statement of faith. In John 13:35, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, for if you love by the way you love one another. They were spiritual people. They were not just Sunday saints. They were Monday through Saturday saints. You know, tomorrow, church is not over. Church is not over at 11:07. That's I estimate it could be about 11:07. But church is just a revitalization of your spirit. It is a praising to God. Everybody upstairs, I hope, heard our praises because that is so important that we have praised the Lord. And 40 people who are senior citizens, 40 or 50 people, can make such a great noise to the Lord, and He loves that noise, and everybody can hear it. Well, you enjoy being with each other. I know when I was a pastor in several Lutheran churches, we'd have our service, and I'd go in the back, and everybody would file out, we'd shake hands, and no hugging in those days. We have a hugging church. In those days, everything was very, very pristine, precise. But in our church, I go in the back after the service, and I just stand there by myself. Nobody else leaves. They're all communicating. You're all having fun together. I have to go back and join with everybody. Well, our praising church is a lively church, and I hope that the folks upstairs at Mother's Day brunch enjoy our praises, that's for sure. It's a happy church. It's a victorious church. It's a blessed church. It's an exciting church. I mean, whenever I get a call from anybody, I get so excited to be able to talk to them. Whenever I go visit people, it's so wonderful to talk to them. Look how excited Betty gets when she stands up front. She says, you should hear what you sound like. She says it almost every Sunday. She said you sound like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir with the volume turned down. But it was really great. Thank you. We are to rejoice, as it says in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Those who are saved and redeemed, your names are written there already because God said He knew you before you were born. Even Tom Fabricius, He knew before he was born. God knew him, and God knows you, everyone, that's for sure. Our church will only grow in relation to God's ability to bless and work among us, and we have to use God's power to work to each other. Don't be afraid to reach out to your neighbors. I hope that as you listen to this message, I trust the Lord has pointed to areas that you can have improvement, that you can work and help the church, especially those areas that need improvement. Just ask Betty about me. I have a long list of improvements. They're called honeydew list.
Yes.
She's having too much fun with this. So I invite you to bring those needs to Jesus and let them take care of them for you today. Just bring your needs to Him. Pray to Him and say, here are my needs. Lay them out and say, I just need your help. Help me. Yes, you. He does care for you. Yes, little old you, He does care for every single one. Just so important. You are so important and so special to Him. Let him take care of them for you. He will respond to you. Will you do what the Lord wants you to do today? Only you know what that is. That's the mark of a growing person. It's the mark of a growing church, too. Do what the Lord wants you to do today. And do it now, because that's what the Lord is asking you to do. Amen. And let's confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.
Now we're going to do hymn number 4, okay? Fairest Lord Jesus. I think we can all relate to the fairest Lord Jesus, so let's sing together.
In case you didn't get enough of the Crusaders hymn.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
It's the same tune.
It's the same tune, but the men get to join.
I think I did that last year, too.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you in remembrance of me." Then in the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
as the closing hymn today, we're going to do Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, but we're going to add a little different beginning to it here, so just listen and we'll hope we get it right.
Together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Blessed be the tie that
sticking. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.